Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Closing market report. It's the 7th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson. We'll take a look at the TPP with the President of the United States. That's in the agricultural news segment. And then we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll ask you a couple of times, politely, to dial in with your pledge of financial support. We're in the midst of our fund drive, 217-244-9455 or willag.org to make that pledge right now for this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for Wednesday afternoon. From the corn pit nearby, December contract at $3.95¾, 2½ lower for the day. March down 2¼ at $4.06¼, and the May down 2¼ at $4.12½. July corn at $4.17¼, down 2¼. December of next year, 1¾ cents lower at $4.17½. Soy complex now, November beans up 3 cents, $8.91. January at $8.95, up 3. The March at $8.98¾, 3½ higher. May up 3¾. July up 4¼. November beans of next year, 3½ higher at $8.99¼. Bean meal futures up $3.40 at $3.05.20. Bean oil 9 cents lower at $28.42. Soft red winter wheat on their settlement price for the day. December contract down 9½ cents at $5.16¾. And July futures at $5.31¾, 8¾ lower. The hard red July down 7¼ today at $5.42¾. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the October contract up $4.17½ at $129.30. December at $136.75, $2.85 higher. October feeders up $2.52½ at $185.05. And November feeders at $181, up $2.97½. Lean hogs a dime higher in the nearby October at $73.60, rather $73.70 at their last trade. December at $66.17½, 55 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have you dialed in yet? I hope so. The number, what is it? 217-244-9455 or willag.org. More in just a couple of minutes.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, if you haven't dialed in yet, now's the perfect time to do it at 217-244-9455. Les Schulte is here. Les, thanks for joining us again in studio today.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd. Always a pleasure to be here and talk to our agricultural audience that, now is really the time for you to just take a break. Take a break and take a couple of minutes and call 217-244-9455. Or go online to willag.org and make that pledge of support, because it really is your dollars that keep this kind of great information coming to you every day. You know, Todd, again, I was just thinking about the fact that we have all of these terrific high-powered analysts on the air with us that come on and give their opinion.
Yeah,
and
you know,
sometimes
like,
they vary.
they vary. But you know what I like about the analyst, and I work a lot with farm broadcasters from around the nation, and with enough analysts that I get a feel for them pretty quickly when we're hunting down new folks to be on Commodity Week. And we find them, but they start showing up on other stations. And I think that's a great thing.
That's great.
It's good for them. Actually, it's good for us as well. Actually, what's really good for us is if our listeners help us out, too. and we like that. At about the $120 level, I think that's where I kind of like to start. That seems to make sense to me. Less is fine. More is fantastic. It's 217-244-9455. This is simple. It's really quick. It's really easy to do. If you want to just call and make the pledge, that's fine. You don't have to give right away. Or you can use your credit cards. That works, too. 217-244-9455.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 7th day of October. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Have you dialed in yet? Gosh, I hope so. But if not, take some time, even right now if you want, at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Or go to our website at willag.org, and there you'll find a link to make your pledge of financial support. I kind of like the $120 level. I won't hit you too hard, but frankly, we need you to belly up. I know it's a tough year for many of you as we're moving through lower commodity prices and you're eating through some of that capital you've built up over the previous years. Same here. So if you can, make a pledge of support. Start at the $120 level. Go up or down matters not to me. What really matters is that you do give. 217-244-9455. We are, after all, public radio for the farming world, and about 40% of our budget comes from you. Now, let's take a look at the marketplace with Jackie Vake. She's here from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County to talk about it and what's been happening. We talked a little bit about farmers. Their yields have been where across the board throughout the Midwest?
Well, you know, this morning, Todd, when we talked, I mentioned that farmer selling had picked up both in corn and beans. And in talking to some of our farmers today, Jeff talked to one of our guys out in North Dakota. His beans are coming in 5 to 7 bushels better than what he thought, and corn's coming in 20 bushels. Now, he's still below average, okay? But we're talking about what his thinking was as to where it was going to end up and what he had been figuring. Just finished talking a few minutes ago to one of our guys out in Nebraska on a different farm. Dryland corn coming in at 237 bushels to the acre. That's what his average is right now for all of his dryland corn, and that's the best they've ever had. Talked to somebody in Iowa. Their average is 190 to 200. It's yielding 250. Beans are running about 10 bushels better than the APH. So, you know, one of the things I mentioned to Jeff when we looked at crop progress on Monday night was, you know, you saw very high progress on beans and rather slow progress on corn. And some of that is just because people choose to go to beans, but you have to wonder if we have another week next week where we see, again, slower progress on corn than what you would expect, if we are not running into much better yields than what people had been anticipating. And so this leads right into, of course, what we're going to see on Friday, which we all know will be outdated before we get that far. But anyway, that's where it's at.
So given all of that, if they're moving more slowly, and just for those who are not farmers, through the cornfields, it may very well be that they're either slowed down by weather. We know that's probably not the case. Or that the crop is so big, it's just taking longer to haul it away. That also may be the case that we haven't heard a lot out of Iowa, and then we come, as you mentioned, to the crop production and the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports due out at 11 a.m. Friday. I haven't quite got those estimates up on our website yet, but overnight I'll make sure that they're there on the USDA reports page, willag.org. One of the other reasons you ought to go to that page, beyond making your donation, by the way, and you can do that too. What do you see, Jackie, on Friday morning then?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do, Todd, probably is review where the guesses are, because as we know, the guesses are already all in the market. So from a corn production standpoint, the average guess is down about 124 million bushels from last report, yield dropping from 167.5 down to 166.4. And these are comparing to September's report, and harvested acres actually dropping about 200,000 acres. On the bean side, down 43 million on production, basically seeing the average yield down 0.6 of a bushel, going from 47.1 to 46.9. Oh, excuse me, 47.1. I did that wrong. So it's only 0.2 of a bushel. And harvested acres had a significant drop of about 600,000. And I think that's, you know, pretty much across the board, what people are feeling is fairly close. We have extremely big ranges on everything. And so there, too, again, you know, it just says to you that there are a lot of us out here who don't feel confident about where this actual yield is going to end up. But again, we need to stress, these numbers are in the market. It's not like it's going to be a surprise to them, to the trader when it comes out. And if it's anywhere close to any of these, it will not be a real volatile report. When you look at the stockpiles or the ending stocks, there it's kind of interesting too. They've got corn down 94 million on average, beans down 52 million, and wheat down 54 million. So you can see that there isn't one single thing where there's an expectation for anything larger. And so it's heavily weighted to the long side, in other words, to the positive side. Now, when you actually go back and you look, we did some historical volatility look at October WASDE reports from 2000 to 2014. On the day of the report for corn, we've been 43% positive and 57% negative, average of 16 cents up, 8 cents down. 2 weeks after the report, we were 50% positive, 47% negative, and the change price changed 17 cents up and 8.25 cents down. Now, that 17 cents up is only one penny higher than it was on the day of the report. That doesn't mean an additional 17 cents. And on beans, the day of the report, 57% positive, 43% negative, 25 cents up or 23 cents down on average. 2 weeks after the report, 64% positive, 36% negative, 26.25 cents and down 23.75 cents. Again, that's just a penny and a quarter different than on the day of the report, and just down 0.75 cents more on the day of the report. So, you know, just you can see it, if from a bean standpoint of all the reports that we have, this is one of the most volatile. The corn report ranks up about the fourth most volatile of all reports in for the October timeframe. And so, you know, it'll be a very interesting day. If we come in within the ranges, probably nothing much is going to happen. And we'll just go back on to what we've been doing. But I mentioned this morning, we've seen a change in the fund positions, with funds only being long corn now and not long beans or wheat at this point in time. So we could see a big change from them. I can't wait till 11 o'clock when it's over.
So you mentioned that we'll go back to what we've been doing. What we've been doing are outside markets, and that's been both the Federal Reserve and China. Anything on either of those fronts that we need to be aware of?
Really kind of interesting. You know, the China situation never ceases to amaze. I mentioned this morning that Ben Bernanke had said that the China situation was expected. There are a lot of people out there right now that are arguing with him about that, but that's beside the point. But there's a company called Yum, Y-U-M Brands. They just announced that they lost about $7 billion in company value in this last quarter, primarily on their ownership of KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell. How about that, eh? And they're blaming it. They're blaming a lot of it on prices being too high at Pizza Hut for their lack of growth and for their losses. And so I think it's interesting to me, if you're looking for indicators that an economy is having a bit of a tough time, it's when you start to see fast food consumption drop. And obviously that's what's gone on in the last quarter in China. So, you know, China continues to be one of those things, Todd, that's not going to go away. It's way too important to the whole rest of the world. And as they struggle to figure out what they need to do in terms of currencies and whether they'll continue to manipulate their currency to keep their export business where they want it to be is a big question.
Hey, Jackie, thanks so much for being with us. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, joins us on a Wednesday for the Closing Market Report. She does that each week. If you like her commentary or the commentary you hear on analysis that you hear each day on the Closing Market Report, the agricultural programming that comes to you from willag.org, I've got a little something else that you might be able to do for us. That's to dial a number right now, 217-244-9455. I think this is really important, and if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be asking you, and I wouldn't ask you yesterday and today and tomorrow and Friday. Actually, Les Schulte, only 4 days in this fall pledge drive, so people need to get on the
Todd,
the phone and start dialing.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a shortened drive. We've actually taken a few days out of our normal fall pledge period to shorten things up, thanks to our sustainers, who have come on board this past year and set up that monthly contribution, so that $10, $15, $20 a month to help support the services of this station, like our agricultural services. If you'd like to become a sustaining friend of WILL and just fit us into your monthly budget at like $10, $20, well, whatever fits in.
You got that wrong. You know that the farmer is just going to write a check, right? For the whole amount.
Well, that's
because they don't get it. They don't get a monthly paycheck.
I understand how they get paid. So yeah, So if you want to drop that check right now for $125, that'd be great. Or put it on your credit card.
Or
pay it later.
$240 or $360.
Yeah, that's right.
$244, whatever.
244-9455. Or this is a quick and easy way. I know you're probably out in your field. You're busy, so why don't you just if you've got your device on you, go to willag.org.
Yep.
Hit that button. And you can just pay us one lump sum, as Todd said, or if you'd like to become a sustaining friend, you can do that too. Just click the buttons. They're right there on the page. Or if you've got our Will app on your phone, that's a simple way to do it too. You just go to our Will app, you hit the station button, and then there's the Give Now, and that's a quick and simple way too. So if you made a contribution last year, last fall about this time, why don't you renew that pledge of support at 217-244-9455 or willag.org. It is your dollars that help keep these services coming to you every day.
Thank you so much, Les. I appreciate you. We'll check in again with you in a bit. Please do dial in right now, 217-244-9455. I usually tell you to take a nap at this time of day during the harvest season. This time around, I want you to stay awake and dial the phone, 217-244-9455. Here's the thing. You need to do it. And really, thank you so much for doing it, but you kind of need to do it too. I appreciate all the help that you give us. A lot of our budget comes from you. The ag audience always comes through. We're really glad to do it for you. I'm really glad to be here. But you kind of have to clap every now and then. This is one of the ways you pay the bill, the piper. You get to clap and get to call in with your support at 217-244-9455. And oh, thank you so very much. In today's agricultural news, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, met with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack on Tuesday to start work on gathering support to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership through Congress. Negotiations of the TPP trade deal were finalized in Atlanta, Georgia, over the weekend. Since the announcement on Monday, many agriculture groups have expressed optimism and support for the deal that should provide an increase in agricultural exports. However, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have expressed concern about the agreement. For his part, the president says there's also bipartisan support for the TPP.
Well, one of the great things about the American farm community is that it's in every state, and it represents districts that are both Republican predominant and Democratic predominant, and that's why typically you get strong bipartisan support for farm legislation. And I think that if the agricultural community is strong and pushing on this issue, that will be an enormous base from which we can get this thing passed.
The president says with a growing market in the Asian Pacific region, it is vital that America gains full access to the market now.
This is going to be a boon for American farmers and ranchers for not just a year from now or 2 years from now, but for the next decade, the next two decades. These are massive markets, and they're growing fast.
That was President Barack Obama discussing the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, and the farm economy. He spoke with farm broadcaster from the Brownfield Network, Tom Stever. Our thanks to Tom for making that audio available. If you'd like to learn more about TPP, there are several ways to go about it. You can visit the USDA's website at FAS, which stands for Foreign Ag Service, fas.usda.gov/TPP, or the U.S. Trade Representative's office. They negotiated the deal. That's ustr.gov/TPP. Or you can stay tuned to one of these many radio stations, and just about 15 minutes, I'll have a discussion with Tom Slate, who is the president and CEO of the U.S. Grains Council on the RFD radio network. So if you're one of those stations that affiliated, we'll cover TPP in just about 15 more minutes in greater detail. Or you can go visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, to listen to that interview and find all the links to those websites. TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. One other story for the day before we get out of the ag news. Gluten-free Cheerios, it seems, aren't actually always gluten-free. General Mills has announced a recall of 1.8 million boxes of gluten-free original and honey nut Cheerios because the products may contain wheat, therefore containing gluten. The voluntary recall is for the cereals produced at a California facility over a 13-day period in July. The Washington Post reports Jim Murphy, senior vice president of the company's cereal division, said he was embarrassed and truly sorry for an incident that allowed wheat flour to get introduced into the gluten-free oat flour system at the facility. The company said it will remove affected boxes from store shelves and warehouses, and customers with affected products can contact General Mills for a replacement or refund. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's check the cash grain markets at the Logansport facility that belongs to the Andersons. That's their Clymers ethanol plant. Pete Peterson is on the phone this afternoon from there. You've been busy today?
Yes, we have. It's kind of a sleeper truck line the last few days, but get said and done. We're dumping over 250 trucks a day, and harvest progress is at a fast pace.
So sleeper, is that because they've been in the field doing soybeans, or they just don't have that much grain to bring to you?
A little bit of both. We extend our hours 7 to 9, and the trucks come in, and they're all bunched together to kind of spread out, and it's kind of misleading as far as looking out the driveway sometimes. You don't see much out there, but at the end of the day, you get quite a few loads.
All right, and it's been coming in dry?
It's getting drier. I'd say right out of the field right now, it's below a 18%, give or take, and the big concern right now is stalk quality and the ear shank and ear drop. So a lot of guys have left some beans out, going back to corn just because.
So I said, usually they're pretty good about being able to pick it up. You've been in one of those hard hit areas. What kind of yields do you have?
Across the board, most everybody's telling us have been better, a little better than they expected. But I think producer did a good job of kind of lowering down expectations. Early corn has been coming in about 20% or so below an average year, with the later corn being 30% or more lower than average. Beans have been kind of the pleasant surprise at this point in time, and a little bit higher than what the expectations were, but still off a little bit, probably about 10% or so from average year. Short beans have yielded real well.
And what are your bids for the day?
Let's see. Right now, cash corn into Clymers, we're at 7 over at 402. Into Delphi, we're at 4 over at 399. And beans into Delphi, we're at 15 under at 876.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet.
That's Pete Peterson. He is with the Andersons Clymers facility near Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. I hope you can join us as well. You can do that financially at 217-244-9455. Dial right now, again, the number 217-BIG-WILL, or you can just go online at willag.org. That's willag.org. This program is supported by you, our listeners, and if you haven't done so yet, now is the time to make a really good contribution.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason here at the home radio station WILL. Thank you so much for listening to our ag programs. It makes a difference to me. We've been working really hard, Les Schulte, to try to make sure that the ag service maintains a really high level of operation. I think we've managed to succeed. It's been pretty difficult, frankly, in the midst of all of the cuts we've had. Now, I can tell you that you know as well as I do that Dave Dickey retired earlier in the year, and we haven't replaced him. It's not quite because of the cuts, but we're sort of on hold at the moment, waiting to make sure we know exactly where we stand. So that's where we are. But as far as the service goes, we've filled in really nicely. In fact, Brian Moline in the morning has done just a fantastic job of picking up. And all five of the analysts do that on their own. I said, can you do? And they said, yeah, we can do it. So they all stepped up. And right now, Les, I need everybody else who listens to step up, too.
Right. This is the time when our listeners step up and support the service with their pledge calls at 217-244-9455, or maybe making that pledge online at willag.org. You're right, Todd. We have been able to maintain the service. Brian's done a great job in the morning in talking to the analysts and getting the information that he needs. But we've continued with all of the on-air services that we've been providing our ag community, our online services. The e-newsletter is still there. Coming up, we've got the Fall Farm Assets Conference coming up next month in Bloomington Normal. If you attended that last year, think about coming back again. If you haven't, it's a great conference. You'll want to do that. That's coming up on November the 24th. Again, a service of WILL and the Extension Service. So if you can help support these services right now, call 217-244-9455 or just go online to willag.org and click Give.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated to take up the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start in the southeast. They've been hit by some heavy rainfall recently. Can you tell me about it and the impact it has had?
Certainly. This was kind of a byproduct of the Hurricane Joaquin. It actually held up a trough of low pressure from moving out of the southeastern United States over the weekend. And because the system was stalled and it had access to subtropical moisture flowing into it, the end result was torrential rains. And, of course, we set all kinds of records and had damage occurring across South Carolina. Rain totals were anywhere from 12 to 20-plus inches in a two-day period, which is just phenomenal. But we did a lot of damage to crops across the Carolinas. Last week in general, South Carolina was certainly leading the way with damage to cotton as well as peanuts, and then a little bit of soybeans also. We're still assessing the situation, but it is now dry. We'll see a little bit of rain in those areas probably on Friday into Saturday, and then back to the dry again for a good week.
Let's skip from there across to the hard red winter wheat-growing regions of the nation. That crop is in the ground. How's the season starting?
Well, it's pretty good in general. The problem is we haven't done a good job with keeping moisture in the ground. It rains every once in a while, and then it gets dry. And part of the problem is it keeps heating up. And a perfect example of that is coming up here this weekend, temperatures will be back in the 80s and 90s across a hard red winter wheat country. And that's going to be after we pick up just a little bit of light moisture here today and tomorrow. The precipitation that's expected will not fill in the gaps. Parts of Colorado and western, southwestern Kansas are running too dry right now. They do need to see significant moisture. And there's some areas from central Texas into central Kansas that are also running a little dry. With a half inch of moisture or less in the next 2 days and then hot weather over the weekend, we're not going to make any progress. The earliest that we could see a little better rainfall out there will probably be around the 16th through the 18th. So it's a long ways out in time. But the crop did get planted, is being planted, and it is going to have potential. We just need to get a little better rain going.
Let's stay with this same staple, but move to Ukraine and Russia.
Those areas have suffered for a very long time with dryness. Their planting season in northern Russia begins in mid-August and is usually done about now. The southern parts of Russia and Ukraine, they start their planting in early September and finish about now as well. And the situation has been very dry for weeks in Ukraine and southernmost Russia, and some of the crop never got planted, and some of it has yet to emerge because there's no moisture. And the earliest we could see rain moving into those areas is about another week to week and a half from now. And if we do indeed get that moisture, the fear is that it's going to be too cold for the crops to germinate and establish with. So there may be a very large reduction in winter wheat planted and emerged across Ukraine in particular and a smaller portion of Russia this year.
And it looks like for here in our part of the world, the Midwest, we should be all clear for a while for harvesting.
That's right. There's only two events coming up for the Midwest. One is this afternoon through Friday morning. The second one is going to be the 17th through the 19th. The latter event will be more significant than this first one. So it'll be good harvest progress over the next 2 weeks.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, thanks to you, all of you who have given in this half hour to our pledge drive for the week. The number to call if you haven't yet is 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. I'm Todd Gleason.